Welcome to Haunted Horizons Ghostcast, where your hosts, Alison Oborn and Kag Allwood, will share their experiences in some of the most terrifying and haunted locations in Australia and overseas. So turn the lights off, relax, and enjoy.
All right, here we are again, Kag.
Yay!
Yay! We're in America still.
Are we? Oh, yes. We are.
Or are we gone back to America? Oh, an orb just flew past. Did you see that? You just had a ghost flying past your jacket.
I didn't.
You didn't. And the answer, you did.
I did. I got so confused by what you were asking me, I didn't know what to respond with.
So, you might hear that we have a guest in the studio again.
Someone from the US
of
A.
For a change.
For a change, yeah. Someone from the US of A, someone from America, where we are residing currently within this podcast.
We are. I wish we were in America, Kag.
I know.
I miss America.
Be careful what you wish for.
Oh, I wish. Is it like, what do you call it? What was that movie? Where you click your heels together?
That's the Wizard of Oz.
That's it. Mm-hmm. I wish I was in Kansas. I wish I was in Kansas. I don't know, but I wish I was in West Virginia.
Hey, Kansas is great. McIntyre Villa is amazing.
I enjoyed Kansas.
Everybody said that actually.
It's a long drive. We went across Kansas and everybody said it was going to be a long drive.
It was going to be a boring one.
I enjoyed it. Mm. I enjoyed all the windmills and the grass. It's the prairie, isn't it? Am I wrong, or is really going across Kansas going across the prairies?
Yeah, I mean, Kansas is an area that we call Tornado Alley in America.
I wanted a tornado.
We didn't see one, did we?
It's very flat, full of foliage. It is fantastic. I mean, I've only been to Kansas one time, and I desperately want to go back to Kansas. So, just like Dorothy did in The Wizard of Oz, we're not in Kansas anymore. We're in Australia now, but I'd love to go back to Kansas
Let's
one day.
Let's get those heels clicking.
Get the heels clicking.
Click, click, clack.
You've got the red sequiny shoes anyway, so you're fine.
Yep, I got the red shoes for it. But unfortunately, and also fortunately, in the same word, in the same regard, we're living in Pennsylvania today.
We are. So let's drop Kansas, because we will be talking about Kansas in future episodes.
Yeah.
Because we had a great time going across Kansas. In fact, I don't think there's any state that we didn't enjoy. So I'm not going to insult any state and say I
No, we just loved going to America.
We just loved everything about it. But we did go from Colorado, mm-hmm. where we got the car, and we drove. Both of us drove across Kansas to West Virginia to Ryan's Paracon, or Paranormal Quests. Paracon they were holding there. And then we skipped on, didn't we, to Pennsylvania. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
The mount, what they called the, it's not it's not the Allegheny. Is it the Allegheny Mountains?
No, it's the Appalachian Mountains.
Mountains.
That was our trip, wasn't it?
Wow.
It was the, what was the trip called?
It was going to be from the Rockies to the Appalachians.
That was it.
Trip, yeah. And the countryside is just stunning up there. But we went there to go and visit Cresson, which is, well, it's a town of Cresson, is it not, Ryan? Because you probably know more than I do about Cresson.
Yeah, so Cresson is a town just outside of Altoona, Pennsylvania. But Cresson really is a very historic town in and of itself. And it kind of, through historical happenstance, ended up being a very interesting prison complex, which we'll get to, but yeah, it was very interesting through the history how it ended up as a prison in Cresson, but it definitely is in the middle of Pennsylvania. I would say midwestern Pennsylvania, I would say, but it is a very cool landscape. You drive through there and it's like no other place in the world. It's like you just roll over the rolling hills and you see windmills and you roll over the rolling hills and it's just...
What are you laughing at?
You just roll over the rolling hills.
You just roll over the rolling hills. You just gotta roll.
It's like you'll go over and then you'll come over the hill and then it's just every corner, every hill takes you to another beautiful scenery. And those houses, when we're going through the little towns in Pennsylvania, everybody's so proud of the little towns. There's so
very
much,
neat and tidy. And
so much care taken of them. It's just, we fell in love with Pennsylvania.
We did.
So why is Cresson the town? You said Cresson, the town of Cresson, is very historic.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because it is a very mountainous, hilly town, and the area of Cresson was actually targeted by a man named Andrew Carnegie back in the 1800s as an area that he was interested in actually establishing a hunting lodge. And he came to the area, brought his mother with him, because the people that know of Andrew Carnegie, he was a steel tycoon. He was one of the wealthiest people to ever live in the United States of America, because he really did. He was the most major producer of steel in America back in the 1800s, early 1900s, and he brought his mother everywhere until he eventually married. So back in the late 1800s, he brought his mother to Cresson because he wanted to find a place to build a hunting lodge, and up on the mountain he found this place and he was really scouting it, and that was the whole point of the voyage. His mother stayed at an Airbnb down in town, and he and a couple of worksmen would go up and scout this area for him to try.
Stayed in an Airbnb.
Oh, did I say Airbnb?
I'm sorry.
Shit, let me go. That's my 21st century conditioning there coming out.
Stayed in an Airbnb. Sorry. I was like, Airbnb?
I missed that.
Thank you for pointing that out, Cag. That would have been very embarrassing.
No problem.
It's going to be, because it'll be still in the podcast.
Yeah, that's my 21st century conditioning going on there. They stayed in a bed and breakfast. The thing that... bed and breakfast. And she lived in a bed and breakfast. His mother did. Andrew Carnegie's mother lived in a bed and breakfast for a while. Shout out to Airbnb for revolutionizing.
Well, Airbnb want to sponsor us though.
Yeah. Yes. Oh God. Yes. Yeah.
Send me a message and we'll come out with you every time.
So, yeah, his mother lived at this bed and breakfast down in Cresson while he was up on the mountaintop scouting for a hunting lodge. And tragedy struck the Carnegie family, because at that exact same moment that they were doing all of that, his mother came down with typhoid fever, and his brother Tom came down with pneumonia. And unfortunately, at the same time, Andrew Carnegie came down with typhoid fever as well. Now, Andrew survived typhoid fever, but his mother did not, and his brother did not survive his illness. So it really did, it put him in a position where he was not willing to spend money on building a hunting lodge, and he was like almost put off by the area of Cresson because of the heartache that it reminded him of. He lost his mother in Cresson, so he didn't want to put up almost a semi-permanent residence there, so he sold it to the state of Pennsylvania for $1. Imagine that, selling something that you paid thousands of dollars for one.
And back then it would have been a lot of money.
Yes. Yeah, it was a lot of money, and he sold it for $1 to the state of Pennsylvania under the agreement that they would build a sanatorium there, because one of the biggest issues in America in the late 1800s, early 1900s was tuberculosis. It was from the late 1800s prior, 1 in 7 people who ever lived died of consumption or tuberculosis. It was one of the most deadly diseases in world history.
And people forget there were other pandemics going through. You know, we think about COVID, but it even affected Australia. Just to put it into context, it even affected Australia. It was called the White Death and killed a lot of people in Zed Ward, the jail.
Yeah.
It really was a very deadly disease, so at that point there was no cure for it. So Andrew Carnegie almost decided that he was going to donate his land to the state for them to build a tuberculosis sanatorium, and that's how Cresson Sanatorium was born. Up atop this mountain, they decided to start building a huge complex of buildings that they were going to use for the treatment and research of tuberculosis, or at that time called consumption. The bacteria that infected the lungs was called tuberculosis, is the actual term for the bacteria that got into the lungs, and it would cause lesions within the lungs that would bleed, and eventually you would drown on your own blood within your lungs because these lesions would bleed into your actual lungs and cause your lungs to stop functioning. So they really needed ways for either to treat or to cure tuberculosis, and Andrew Carnegie donated the land because of that, but they built this huge tuberculosis sanatorium. And for those of you, I'm sure you've heard of like Waverly Hills Sanatorium and many other sanatoriums across the world that are considered to be some of the most haunted places ever, because thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people died of tuberculosis worldwide. Millions of people still, I mean, up until 2020, millions of people a year die from tuberculosis. So, and then in the 1950s, when they finally found a cure for tuberculosis, the antibiotic regimen that eradicated the tubercle bacillus from the lungs finally actually got rid of it and cured tuberculosis, there was no need to have sanatoriums anymore. So they decided to actually turn Crescent Sanatorium into what was called the Robert Flick Hospital for the Mentally Ill. You know, we have one in West Virginia called the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum, and you have one in Australia here called Airedale Lunatic Asylum. And that's really what Crescent became for 30-some years, a place for the state of Pennsylvania to put the people that were the most vulnerable people, the most vulnerably mentally afflicted individuals, mentally ill individuals. They sent them to Crescent. And then in the 1980s, it changed again. When they closed down the Flick State Hospital for the Mentally Ill, it then became Crescent State Prison, the SCI, State Correctional Institution Crescent. It was a close security prison, which in America we have four different classifications of prison. You have minimum security, you have medium security, you have close security, and then you have maximum security. Maximum security being the highest, the worst of the worst. Crescent was a close security prison, so those that weren't prone to violent behavior but also committed violent crimes were sent there. So, and until about 2013, when it finally closed, it was used to house some of Pennsylvania's worst criminals. And you talk about one thing that that really stood out to me with Crescent, and I mean, you ladies can chime in at this point, because it really was one of those places where it didn't seem like anything that mountaintop was used for was happy. It was like just depression, tragedy, and death.
And you know, the crazy, I don't mean it to be a pun, but some of those buildings were absolutely beautiful.
Oh, they were stunning. Absolutely stunning. And the setting where they are is just absolutely stunning.
The scenery is stunning. A couple of buildings. Go to the Haunted Horizons Facebook page. I put a whole load of pictures up there. But they're just beautiful. And it's deceiving on what
the
it was
razor
used for.
Wire going around the outside that seems so wrong.
It does, doesn't it?
The beautiful buildings inside, but the razor wire. I've never seen so much razor wire in one place.
I
have to admit, it's just everywhere.
Yeah, because it's such a big complex. I mean, it's like over 40 acres of land, 30 some buildings, and it is massive. I remember, kind of interesting, kind of a side tangent here. I remember when it was like sometime in 2020. Jason, Steve, Dave, and I were looking for places to investigate. And we came across this prison called Crescent that was closed but wasn't open for ghost tours. They did urban exploring stuff. So they allowed explorers in to go and look around, but they didn't allow paranormal researchers in there. So we sent them a message through their Facebook page, which they have an actual Facebook page. It's Big House Produce. And we were like, hey, you guys should do ghost tours. Would you allow us to come in and do paranormal investigation there? And they said, well, we've been thinking about it, but we haven't actually got it set up yet. So can we message you back in a few months to figure out whether or not we're going to do it? And a few months later, we finally messaged them again and said, hey, did you get it set up yet? And that's when they said, hey, yeah, we did. Come on in. We were in the first, Paranormal Quest was in the first five groups to get into Crescent, because we were in contact with them before they ever set up the paranormal investigation tours. And when we went there, it was absolutely incredible. I mean, they allowed us 12 hours in there, which is not what they allow now, but we were within the first five groups, and we told them, like, this is what we need. Can we get in at 4 p.m.? We'll leave at 4 a.m., and they said, yeah, that's fine, sure, whatever. They didn't really have a tour route set up yet, so we went in, and we had no idea where we were going. We just parked our car, grabbed our gear, and went, and you talk about 35-something buildings, close to 40 buildings, and 40 acres that we were having to cover. And we just went off on our own, and we experienced such creepy activity. EVPs, REM pods going off, and then F building, which was the end-of-life care for the inmates, and it was built during the time when it was the Flick Hospital for the Mentally Ill. It was so much activity in that building. But I remember specifically, we actually got to talk to a former inmate that served time there at Crescent. And I can't remember his name because we ended up not using his name because he wasn't comfortable because of the crime that he had committed. He didn't want to be associated with the building. But he had he told us a lot about that place. And he said that one thing that the chaplains talked about all the time was that he felt there was like an evil pall that covered the whole prison. He said that it felt like there was a cloud that covered Crescent that was like a curse that only allowed that mountaintop to be used for evil or depressing circumstances, and that there was some sort of spirit or entity that covered that place in a just a depressing and very oppressive way. So when we went into F building back in 2021, I want to say July of 2021, we had a lot of activity. We felt the energy, we heard things, we felt things, and I mean, you just have to go to Paranormal Quest's YouTube channel and watch that episode to understand fully what happened, but it was very, very strange place. And since then, I mean, now they have a lot of TV shows that are going there.
A lot of people have been there, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we did find it from your show, because we just copy everything you do.
Yeah. Well, that's how you find venues,
copy everything they do, apart from in the editing and the actually filming and the actual...
And being professional.
And being professional and having a plan.
Exactly.
We do go through. You know, if we want any reference to where we can go in America, we look at Paranormal Quest and their channel. There you go. You didn't know that, did you?
Yeah, there we go.
There we go. Kagami booked it in, and we thought, you know what, that looks like a big, dark, creepy place with lots of buildings, and we're going to be on our own, so why don't we invite Ryan?
Exactly.
Why not?
And Jason, whoever else wants to come. So, Ryan, you took it up, you came, drove out 3 hours.
I did.
Come and join us.
Jason was very upset because he couldn't come because he had to work, and Dave was very upset because he was sick that day, so he couldn't come.
So... But Ryan came out, and we walked around.
Can we just set the scene first? It was actually thunder and lightning.
Oh, yes. Okay, set the scene there, Keg.
It was thunder and lightning.
How lucky were we that when we arrived, it was this humid thunderstorm that was going through, the rumbling and everything else. So how creepy...
Yeah.
Because we didn't expect it to be that big. To be quite honest, we did not expect it to be... that big, because your episode there, Ryan, did not tell the whole story.
No, and you can't, and that's half the problem. You can't tell the whole story of Crescent because it is so massive.
It's
massive.
It is.
One video does not do it justice. You have to go back multiple times because you would have to spend a week there to investigate every building, maybe more.
And then the buildings themselves are big. So you've got a big area with lots of big buildings.
You could do one investigation in one building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there's so many different levels and so many different areas. So we had a little walk around. We didn't walk around at all because we couldn't. And we started the investigation in the infirmary. Second floor, which I believe is where the harder, the problematic, the...
Difficult to manage
prisoners went.
Yeah, so the medical building, you had a lot of examination buildings on the first floor, but on the second floor, they had more of their psychiatric unit back when it was a prison. Now, mind you, that building was built back when it was used as a tuberculosis hospital. So the history of Crescent is kind of difficult to track depending on what building that you're in. each building was built in a different time period, whether it be the tuberculosis hospital, whether it be the asylum, or whether it be the prison. You have to kind of look at what history you're dealing with. The medical building had all three. But in the years that it was a prison, the first floor was used for the treatment of medical diagnoses for the inmates, and the second floor was for the inmates that were unruly, uncontrollable, more of the inmates that were experiencing a lot of mental illness or psychotic episodes, they'd keep them up there. So, yeah, it was a an area that was not unfamiliar to aggressive energy.
And have you, when you first went, did you get anything in that building?
Yeah, I remember in that building we got a lot of activity, not on the second level, but on the first floor, because that was where they would take care of a lot of the medical care of the inmates. But back beyond that, when it was the asylum, the patients there, a lot of them would probably be sent there, and also the tuberculosis hospital. Steve was very fixated on the idea that maybe between all three of those different uses for the facility, that someone might be homesick. Someone might be feeling very distraught because they had been away from their home for so long, and he asked them that. He said, "Are you homesick?" As soon as he said, "Are you homesick?" it said, "Yeah." And it was a woman's voice, which was very creepy. So I imagine probably the tuberculosis hospital era. So it was a sad moment, you know, the chills that overcome you. And we actually did live review in the moment, so we heard it in the moment. And I remember feeling the chills, but then understanding the gravity of the situation and how sad that actually was. That this person who died there was still there, and they were homesick from when they, maybe 100 years ago, whenever they were brought there, or more.
Well, nobody wants to be away from their family and their home, and to be passive. And tuberculosis, you pretty much knew you weren't going to survive it. Yeah. And just not to be with your family, and it would be horrible.
It would be.
It would be very sad.
Yeah. So, yeah, we had that, and really, I mean, beyond that, it was a little bit quiet. We didn't get to spend much time in there before we had to move on. But, and how can you with a complex that huge? You can't spend much time in any one of the buildings before you have to move on to the next to cover more. So. Yeah, if you want to hear that EVP, just go to the Paranormal Quest YouTube channel and check it out. But when we were there, and you invited me to come back with you in this year, there was so many interesting things that happened. I remember I wasn't even there and the activity started.
No, you weren't. You were setting up an abandonment somewhere.
Yeah. I was over in like completely separate buildings, I believe. E block and the administration building, I set up cameras to roll while we were doing the live stream in the medical building to see if they captured anything, and you guys thought I was coming back, but I wasn't.
No, we were upstairs setting up. We put all the equipment out, and I heard what sounded like Ryan coming up the staircase nearest to where we were. Two staircases, two ends of the hallway. I said, "Oh, Ryan's coming up." And then there was nothing.
There was nothing at all.
He was like, well, if he's coming up, he's...
Taking his time,
yeah. So we called out to him, and there was no answer. And we thought, okay, well, that's weird. We didn't catch that on film.
Because we're still setting up.
Yeah. And then we heard Ryan coming up the staircase down the other end of the hallway. And as he came up the staircase, I shouted out, "Is that you, Ryan?" And Ryan did answer.
Yeah.
He said, "Yeah, that's me." And as soon as he answered, the flux, which is like, how would you describe a flux? It's a yes-no proximity.
Yes, no triangle.
Triangle proximity thing. Hit one side, it'll go yes, and the other side, no. Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But the trigger for yes went off. The green light went off as soon as it heard his voice. Which makes me wonder, do you think they remembered you?
Or they knew that it was me coming up the stairs and you weren't experiencing anything paranormal at that point, that you weren't experiencing anything strange. But yeah, it's very strange because, you know, I've never experienced much with the flux until I came here to Australia and you all let me use your equipment to film some investigations here. And since then, we've done, was it 5 investigations up until this point at some of the most haunted places in Australia? And I've seen how the flux reacts, and it's to the point to where I'm ready to go back to America and order myself a flux, because we've had so much interaction with it. It's wild. And it does, for it to trigger yes whenever you asked if that was me coming up the stairs and I answered, yeah, that's me, and the flux says yes, is very fascinating.
Yeah. And then he came down the hallway to us, just missed the EDI. That's going to be a full story in itself.
Yeah.
Kicked it over many times that night.
It's like, that's why we can't have nice things.
That's right.
So he took us through the hallway just to point out a few things because he'd been before. And we went, this is where it got interesting because we went into the shower block.
Yes.
He took us in there. For the people who can't see the video, how would you describe the showers?
The showers are put, I mean, it's inside a specific shower room. So you go up on the second floor of the psychiatric unit. And this wasn't a cell block. This was a room that was meant for the inmates that were considered to be mentally unstable. So the showers themselves were stainless steel cells that had doors that would shut and had the latch for them to be padlocked shut. So they would literally have bars over the doors of the showers, and they were padlocked shut so that these inmates would not be able to get out. And that right there is just, you think about the security level of that. I've never seen showers like this before.
Seen anything like
and it. And even the hole to put your hands through for the
for them to take the handcuffs off. Yeah. So mm-hmm. there was a hatch where you put your hands through once you're locked in there, and they would take your handcuffs off so you could shower yourself, but then you would have to put your hands back through, have your handcuffs put back on, then they would unlock the door, which is just, imagine a stainless steel cell with bars is basically what the shower was.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, that area up there, the hallway was very active, the shower room not so much, which is something we wish we would have known in the moment, because we kind of picked up on it after the fact as to why we weren't getting many responses in the shower, because why would you respond if you were in the shower?
You did, like, think it a bit weird.
Yeah, if you were in the shower and someone walked in and tried to talk to you, you'd be like, get out of here, I'm naked.
Okay, you know? I'm going to be honest. What we did with Ryan, and this was all because of a flashing ball, let me tell you, because we had some trigger objects down the hallway, and one of the balls flashed, and it was the cat ball that was on the handcuffs.
Yeah.
We took that as a sign, didn't we, Keg?
We looked for signs.
We did. Because, you know, spirit gives you signs of what they want. And we thought that's a clear sign that we need to put Ryan in handcuffs.
As you do.
And we did.
And you did.
Ryan did not complain, though.
I did not, no. I was like, I'm used to that or something.
So, so eventually we took Ryan into the shower.
Mm-hmm.
And we had him in there with handcuffs. But we got nothing. The thing that did interest me, though, that we did get was actually before we put him in handcuffs. And we'll get back to the rest of the handcuffs soon. But when Ryan was showing us around, we actually caught somebody whistling.
Yeah. It was weird because as we were walking out of that room, I heard it. I turned around and I said, did you hear someone whistle? And did you all hear it at the moment?
We all heard it because we all commented on it. But when I'm going to be honest, when I look back at the video, I thought, you know what? People are going to say Ryan did it because Ryan was walking ahead of me. And this is why I'm going to tell the whole story. Ryan was walking ahead of me. I was filming and he put his head down, put his hand up like that in front. Now, I know he didn't do it because I know where I heard it from. But I know that people who are watching may say, hey, you know, because he put his hand down, it could be him. Except, and this is the best thing, we heard it again. Only this time, Ryan is facing the camera, and he's going, did you hear that whistle? And then we heard it again, but it was further away this time. And then we heard it again, and it was even further away. So whatever it was receding off down the hallway. That was interesting.
Okay.
Did you whistle?
No.
No, but I did hear that.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
I heard it.
Ooh, my hair's standing up.
So, and we have had whistling before in a prison. It was in Missouri, wasn't it? Where we kept getting that whistle. Yeah. So whistling seems to be a thing in jails. I don't know what it is.
Oh, we had it at the Railway Museum as well. Well, our railways have got whistling.
And I've had it at Sedwood.
But if you think about it, what do you do if you're bored?
Yeah. Whistle.
You whistle if you're bored. If you have nothing to do to occupy your mind, you're bored.
Yeah.
And something that is prevalent in jails and prisons is boredom.
Yeah.
So I'm sure those inmates were whistling a lot while they were there, because what else do you have to do besides sit in your cell or clean or do whatever you were? So you might as well whistle to pass the time.
Now, just out of interest, I thought I heard somewhere that sometimes they'll whistle to tell the other prisoners that a guard is coming. I don't know if you've ever heard that.
Oh, yeah. They had specific signals, whistle signals, hand signals. Different prisons, you had different signals to let you know that guards were coming. And I've even heard of prisons, especially like the West Virginia Penitentiary that we talked about a few weeks ago, where I worked for years. I've heard officers talk about inmates would learn to read lips so they would be able to know when the guards were performing a search of the cell block.
Okay.
So they would read lips across the block to be able to know when they were talking to fellow officers, when they were having those conversations. Hey, next Wednesday at 4 p.m. we're doing a search. And if even if you were like almost 100 meters away, they'd be able to read their lips and say, oh, I saw that. I saw that. And then they pass the word around to the other inmates. Before you know it, everybody knows there's a search coming, and everything that's illicit, everything that's contraband,
is hidden.
And the officers can't find it, and they wonder why the hell they couldn't find anything.
Yeah.
So, fascinating.
So maybe somebody was warning the others that we were coming through.
Maybe they thought you were a guard because you were going to put me in handcuffs.
So we then went to do a EVP burst. And we were going to do it in the hallway, but we decided, because you'd heard, and we'd all heard different times a voice in the end cell where we were. We were at the end of the hallway working, but there was a cell next to us.
Yeah, I don't know if you'd classify it as a cell. I think I would say more of a, like a medical room in a way, because it was too big to be a cell.
Yeah, it was a weird room, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it was this room at the end of the hallway that was it was very medical. I mean, but it had a picnic bench in it, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
We decided to go and do the EVP burst in that room.
And almost immediately, I was putting stuff down, and when I was listening back to it, and all EVP, and I'm going to say this, because I am rational, all EVP that we get, I mean, it could be sound artifacts, because it was raining, it was kind of a little bit of a noisy building. But when I was listening to it, something sounded different, because I'd listened to all this audio, all this video, and then sometimes you hear something that's just a little different to what you've been listening to, and it sounded like, in fact, let me play it for you first. Okay, so what I heard was something like in hell, or we're in hell, or something like that, which is interesting. And then we continued with the EVP session, and you thought you heard something behind you, didn't you?
Yeah, it was weird. It was like almost like a weird breathing or wheezing sound that I kept hearing from behind me. And I knew we were the only three people in the room, so I was kind of confused. And I even at one point asked Cag, I was like, is someone breathing? And like, did someone just wheeze or have a heavy breath or something? And they said that they didn't hear it even, but...
But the audio did seem to pick on something that he had... It kind of backed up that something was there. But talking about breathing, that's very interesting, because we were knocking Cag, weren't we? Well, all right, I'll be honest, I was knocking Cag.
I never knock Cag. I love Cag.
I've been told off before for breathing during an investigation.
I think also Ryan...
Tag.
Ryan heard breathing out in the hallway. And this
how
is
dare
this,
you breathe?
I know. I know.
How dare you do the human function of breathing?
I know.
People have complained because Cag breathes. And
people have complained because Cag breathes.
Most of the people who complain is me.
People don't want Cag to breathe.
No.
Can you stop breathing, Cag?
Yeah, let's try.
It's very loud. All right? Stop it. Stop it. So Cag... We'd just been cracking that joke about Cag's not allowed to breathe, which is really interesting because just after that, we get the sound of heavy breathing on the video camera. Now, you can see it's not Cag who is holding the camera because she talks through the heavy breathing. And when we look back on the phone audio, because we were live streaming at the time, and the microphone would have been closer to her mouth than what the video camera was, there is no heavy breathing.
Out in the hallway there's some whiskey and there's some cigarettes. If you want them, come out and find them for me. If you can find the cigarettes, I'll leave you one. What you got to do is light up the ball next to them.
Yeah, and that being there, it's like if you would have been heavy breathing, the phone would have picked up on it, not the camera.
Yeah.
But it was the opposite.
Yeah. So that was interesting. It's almost like it was taking the mickey out of what we've been saying. Here's the heavy breathing. Cag's not, because she's holding her breath.
Even now.
I will do it for her.
It was funny. It was.
So, and then, of course, we put Ryan in handcuffs and put him in the...
Naturally.
Yeah. And then he thought it would be a little weird for people to come and talk to him when he was in a shower. So.
Yeah, and that was the thing. We did that Esther session in the shower for quite a while. I mean, in your video, it was somewhat short because
We didn't get anything.
And as I was listening and not hearing anything, I thought to myself, I was like, why am I trying this? Like, I'm in the shower. Why is anyone going to talk to me when I'm in the shower? Because generally in the shower, you're very vulnerable and it's the most awkward place for someone to talk to you. Like, if you think about it at home, if you came across someone in the shower, would you try and talk to them? If they weren't your significant other or weren't someone that you knew.
Not even if it's my significant other.
Yeah, like, would you try and talk to them when they're in the shower? No. So, why am I standing in the shower with handcuffs on trying to get them to talk to me? I wouldn't talk to me in the shower.
No, so he had a point, so we let him out. But we kept him in handcuffs.
We did.
Because, you know, we could. And we put him in the hallway. And then it appeared that somebody wanted to talk.
Yes.
And Cag, you and me were at the other end asking questions. And I think one of the first questions we came out with, is there anybody there? And one of the first answers that Ryan came out with was, I don't like you. Now, I'm sure that was something coming out of the radio, not Ryan's thoughts, but hey. But it was really interesting. And we're just standing there. We're so calm, just standing there going, oh. Well, that's not very nice, is it?
It's like, oh, that's rude.
I love the one thing I always notice about us, we always have that underreaction.
I know.
It's like,
so, oh, really?
Oh, well, that's rude. Nice. That's not nice for you to say.
And so that was the theme that continued while he was on the headphones. There was one other one that he came out with.
Hate.
Hate, that was
and
it.
I, yeah. I
hate.
Just said
and
that.
You came out with it.
Yeah, I came out with, well, that's a bit harsh.
Hate's a strong
word. A bit.
It's a strong word.
Hate's a strong word.
It is a strong word.
Hate is a strong word.
It was just like no overreaction. No, like just, oh, that's a very strong word. Yeah. Typical mother type thing.
Don't say hate. That's a strong word.
Don't say hate. That's a very strong word.
Say dislike.
Yes.
Yes.
Please.
I'm sure he gave up by that point. And then I went on, and I'm sure we got some stuff. I can't remember. Did we get some stuff when I went on?
Did we get some stuff?
We did. I did come out. That's why it was on there.
We didn't get We didn't get anything major, major. We've got a few bits, nothing that major.
Yeah. A few bits and bobs.
Yeah. It was a few little interesting. You have to go and watch the video.
Yeah.
We'll put a couple of clips up now for you. Hang on. Let me do that for you.
Darty, get out.
He's likely to do what?
You nasty.
Just said something nasty.
Yeah.
I said you nasty.
Well.
I'm sure.
Man.
Yes. Is that the grumpy guy that's here that doesn't like us and wants us to leave?
Are you talking about me? Do you not like me? Would you like it if I left?
Leave.
So yeah, we had a few interesting little snippets from there, and then we moved on to the tunnels, because they done here just opened them up, didn't they?
Can I talk a little bit about what happened in between that?
You can oh dear, what happened in between?
We went to the cell block, remember, with Paranormal Quest filming?
Oh, yes, we did.
We did.
Please,
so
please tell us.
There was a session that wasn't included in the Haunted Horizons episode, and we went to E block, which was a cell block that was very much neglected during the Paranormal Quest filming when we were there a year prior. We went to D block, we went to A block, we went to many of the other blocks, but we didn't go to E block, and it is very identical. It's like pods, one side and the other, and you have cells and showers and tables in the middle, and just like you would see in almost like a modern prison show. But I remember specifically, we didn't do this one, and I had set up an abandonment there. Nothing much happened. I mean, we had a lot of thunder and lightning when we were there during the abandonment that I had set up when we were doing the live stream up in the medical building. So when we finally came back, it was very interesting because I had moved and the paranormal music box was going off. And I had actually debunked it and attributed it to the fact that the temperature had dropped. Because not many people know this, but that paranormal music box that everyone loves to use and say is a motion sensor, it's not a motion sensor.
It's temperature.
Yeah, it doesn't detect motion, it detects temperature. So the fact that it had been set up for so long and a storm had rolled through, the temperature had changed in the room. So therefore, it was continually going off. So when I got back, I reset all of the equipment except for the music box. And I kind of told myself, I was like, you know what? If the music box continually goes off, then it's probably going to be natural causes. It's probably going to be because of the drop in temperature due to the storm rolling through. But we'll see what else happens. I'm going to move the camera, go get more batteries for the other camera that's set up there, and we'll come back here and do a session. And while that camera was set up there, on cell 19, the ghost tube said 19, which was really creepy. And literally the only cell that was fully in shot was cell 19. And out of all the numbers the ghost tube could have said, said 19.
Yeah. That was blown away, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was cool.
So freaky.
Yeah.
And so eventually we came back and did a session there, and we ended up putting the paranormal music box in cell 19. And the paranormal music box at that point, after it had been reset, was recalibrated for the temperature in which it was, so it shouldn't have been affected by the storm, because the storm was moving through and the temperature wasn't going down anymore. But it continued to go off, and on command.
Yeah.
Very bizarre. So we had a fantastic session in E block, and which you can see,
definitely go and watch the episode on Paranormal Quest.
Yeah, for sure. And so and then from there we ended up going to the tunnels, which was the next thing you see in the Haunted Horizons video.
And yours. I think we both had two different versions of it, didn't we? I think the one thing that came out in it, though, was, that creepy bit, which we'll get to soon.
Can I just say also, the things that you've missed throughout this is the fact the amount of equipment that you two guys kicked, stood on, knocked over. That's why we can't have nice things.
Yeah, we might have. What was the tally? I think it was 3 EDIs that went flying.
Yeah.
1 light. Which I should have seen.
You
I will take
the
blame
place.
For that, because I should have seen it. Because
you kicked
it
over once.
Well, it was on the wall, wasn't it?
Oh, the light you've
knocked
over. The
light, which was actually lit up at the time, so I have no excuse.
CAG kicked over the EDI once.
And you kicked it over another time.
Yes.
And I kicked it over a third time. And every time we just went, this is why we can't have nice things.
That's right. Merch coming soon for Haunted Horizons.
Haunted Horizons, this is why we can't have nice things. In the tunnels, I mean, I remember, I can't remember what was in Paris, because we both went through our own footage. And for us, when we were walking in there, you thought you heard... We didn't put it in the episodes because it wasn't definite enough and it wasn't something that was clear on the audio. But you thought you heard somebody following us, didn't you?
Yeah, it was really weird. It was just as though... Now, I don't know whether it was my mind playing tricks because it's a dark tunnel and tunnels are scary anyway. But it was just as though you could, there was somebody following us down the tunnel.
I did include it in the Paranormal Quest episode, if you remember. Yes,
okay.
I did include that, yeah.
Different things in our episodes.
So, yeah, it was very weird because Cag heard it and she thought, but the hard thing is that there was so much water dripping in that tunnel because of the storm that had just gone through, that our minds were really starting to play tricks on us. So it could have been paranormal, but also we don't know because of the amount of sound that was down there. So
I mean, we started to get used to that sound of the drips because they were very loud, because they kind of echoed through the tunnel, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then we got a sound that was a bit different because you'd asked a question, Cag, and we got what sounded like three knocks. Like that. So there's a pause between that and the third knock. And I'd listened to the whole time we were down there. Because we were filming, I don't know about Ryan, but we were filming from the moment we walked into that tunnel. I had a camera following. So we were recording the whole time. And as I was editing, I was getting used to the sounds. I was starting to... You start to phase them out your head because you could hear the knocks of the water. And
yes.
But this was rhythmic. This was a little bit different. This was like a knock, knock, knock.
Yeah, it was, and it seemed like someone further down the tunnel was, like, listening to what we were asking them to do.
Yeah, it was just unusual, wasn't it?
It was.
And then we set up, and as I said, we all have different video footage, so we set up, Ryan put his stuff out, came back, fell over a pile of paint chips.
Listen,
it was a massive pile of paint chips, though.
Massive. Look at the video. That pile of paint chips was
so
big.
Look at the video, because he trips over before he actually reaches the big part of the pile.
Yeah. Like, they had swept up the paint chips that were fallen from the walls, and there was a pile of them right there. And I decided to walk right where the pile of paint chips was, and I about fell on my face, and I caught myself.
He was so casual. Oh, that was just a pile of paint chips. And he tried to ignore it as if...
No, caught you.
And he said, oh, my video camera would have got my feet. And I said, no, that's all right, Ryan. My video camera would have caught the whole lot. And this is why Haunted Horizons videos version is different from Paranormal Quest.
Because I cut me tripping out of our video, but you put it in. So
I did.
You did. You put it in. So go to Haunted Horizons to watch me trip over paint chips.
Not once.
Not once.
Twice.
But twice.
Yes. But then I think the most creepiest part, and you put it in yours and we put it in ours because it was a good creepy bit, is we put Ryan on headphones.
Mm-hmm.
And we started to get a name coming through, Joe, and what did we say? Oh, we heard something behind us, didn't we? That was it.
Yeah.
We heard behind... I'd already turned the video camera around because I was already hearing something that wasn't that typical sound, and you were getting used to the natural sounds then. Yes. And turned it around because it felt like somebody was coming around down the tunnel. And we'd ask the question... In fact, let us play it. Let us play this section for you.
Hey.
Hello.
Is that you, Elsa?
No, but it was from behind us and it sounded like a footstep.
It did, didn't it?
That's why I'm facing this way. Is somebody coming?
I hear.
Oh.
That's not creepy.
That's not
the slightest, is it?
That's not creepy at all.
So that was really creepy, wasn't it? When we, just the way it said. Yeah. I'm here. It's like,
that's really, and what,
it's just
creepy.
Our whole thing is like,
because you're in a dark tunnel, and we're actually quite a way down the tunnel as well.
It was
we?
Dark.
Yeah,
and Ryan was going to be no help because he was on
headphones.
We've nearly got this out.
We have.
Because Ryan was going to be of no help, was he? Because he was on the headphones. So yeah. It's like he wasn't hearing anything that was going on.
No.
And we're just standing there, you and Mika, going, oh, that's creepy.
Well, and I loved it because, like, I didn't know what was going on. And I remember watching the video back and I loved your reactions. You're like, that's not creepy in the slightest, is it?
Just like, oh.
Oh, that's not creepy in the slightest, is it?
But it didn't eventuate to much. After that, it seemed to quieten down. So, and then we moved on to the other block. Ryan?
Yeah, the next place.
SCU?
No? RHU.
Oh, RHU. There you go.
We ended up going to the RHU, which was the restricted housing unit. Restricted housing unit meant... these were inmates that were more violent and also more troublesome than most of the other inmates. Really, any inmate could be sent there if they had broken the rules, but generally it was an area to collect the most violent because the most violent were the ones that always ended up there. So the restricted housing unit always had issues. You know, they were locked in their cell 23 hours a day. They had their own recreation space that was literally just a little tiny run of cages that they would send them out to. 1 hour a day where they would have an hour to run back and forth and that's it. And it was an area of, you talk about prison, that is prison right there. That is the most extreme, no freedom, no privileges, nothing. And that's where we decided to go to end the night. And there are two different sides to that, two different blocks to that. And not many inmates ended up there. And of course, by happenstance, then not many inmates died there. But you think about the residual energy that would be left behind from that. That is the area where you were going to capture the most residual activity. So
in one section we didn't, and we've set me up. You left.
I did. Yeah, it was kind of interesting. At that point, I was like dead tired. I'd driven 3 hours there to meet you, and I had a 3-hour drive home, and I'm like, oh, I can't do it anymore. I'm falling asleep standing up. I have to leave. So yeah.
We broke him.
Allison and Cag broke me.
Yep.
And then I was just exhausted by the last session. I couldn't do it. I made it halfway through the last session, and then that was it.
Yeah.
I had to leave. I packed up my stuff,
no
grabbed
stamina.
The cameras, and walked
no
out.
No stamina. I don't know what it is with these young people, but no stamina.
We're not trained for it. I mean, not like the older generation is. We're not trained
for
the stamina.
We just power through.
Right.
So, but it's when Kag and me went into the... Because we thought there's nothing happening in this section. Because it's in two sections, isn't it?
That's what
yes.
you just said.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. That's what I just said. Thank you, Cag, for picking up on that.
That's no problem.
Because I wasn't listening.
At least someone listens to what I say.
So, is there anything else I should know before I...
No, keep going.
No, that's all right.
There was a center section, too, where the guards were.
There was. We didn't bother with that.
No. That's where the door was that Allison could never find to get out.
There was. Funny enough, the center section there, that desk that the officers used to go in, whenever it was actually abandoned, there were people that would go in graffiti, but, like, they ended up scratching it out by the time you made it there, but by the time we were there, early on, when they first started ghost tours, they hadn't crossed it out yet, but it said F... Crescent Sanatorium. They said F Crescent, or it said F SCI Crescent. So it was like,
SCI
Crescent.
Yeah, I think
they put the word F and the word fuck in front of it. So whoever was doing graffiti,
we just got ourselves banned.
That's right. So just bleep it out, Allison.
Spotify.
Just bleep it out. Just go in.
Make my editing harder, then.
I will send you the censor beep. You can do it very easily.
Ooh, do you have a censor beep?
I do have a censor beep. I'll send it to you.
Please
so,
do.
I will. I'll send it to you.
I need it now.
Yeah. You need it after I'm on.
So we went into section two that Ryan already said. There was only you and me, Cag. It was about then that it dawned on us. We are on our own.
In this massive complex.
We have no other person there.
Meanwhile, I was still back in base camp, but they just, I was still on the complex. Just
yeah,
not
we
with
thought
them.
You'd gone. We did think you'd gone.
Yeah, no, I was still back there, we just trying to pack up.
We thought, that's rude of him, he's just gone.
He's just gone and left
he's just
us.
Gone. He hasn't said goodbye, he just went.
I know.
We broke
I said
him.
Goodbye.
We broke him that much. That
I said
just...
goodbye. Roll the video back, I said goodbye.
Anyway, we went to section two, and that's when it dawned on us, Cag, that we were on our own, with no person to support us.
No.
In any time.
Massive.
It is just huge.
Complex.
Just
it was huge.
Massive.
Yeah.
Yeah, just huge.
So we didn't, I think we went around. There's one point where we kind of had another look around that little section.
Yeah.
And I was shouting out, if there's anybody here, can you do this kind of thing? Can you bang? And we got a voice.
Come on, somebody's around.
So then we went and did the EVP burst. And I was asking, is there anybody here with us?
Yeah.
And then we went through all the other questions and then we played it back. Creepy. And when we listened to that playback and that question, what did we get?
We got a creepy voice.
Saying what?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very creepy male voice going... Which listen, we didn't hear at the time.
Listen to it.
Let's listen to it now.
Is there anybody with us in this building tonight?
I just
oh,
want to
my
ask.
God, that's a yes. Sorry.
I just want to
oh,
ask.
Oh, that's so creepy as.
That's creepy as.
That is a definite yes.
Yeah, that was, I mean, it was so fascinating to me because after I left, it was almost like, and they moved to the other block, that was when they caught that EVP, and it was like there was someone there, but after I left, it was almost like I felt like a repellent because nothing happened in the RHU when I was there, but when I left,
yeah.
Suddenly you guys caught an EVP. It was very interesting.
Yeah, it was probably the most interesting EVP of the night.
It was.
Yeah. So after that, we were very creeped out. Were we, Cag?
Yeah.
It was time to leave.
Yes.
No, it was time to leave. It wasn't because we were scared. But it was time to leave, and that was our night at Crescent. And I can't wait to get back.
I've got we've got to go back because it's...
We
well,
did. How many buildings did we do? We did...
Four.
Was
four.
It four?
Four. You only have 30 buildings
tunnels?
Left to go.
We have... Yeah. Well, we've got the other floors.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Of those buildings. So it's not like there's not a lot of floors. We could go back there next few years.
Numerous
still,
times.
Yeah. Mm.
Yep, Crescent is one of those places that you could go back endlessly for a year and not see.
Yeah.
Funny enough, the owner told you something interesting, right?
He did.
Yeah.
What?
Did you have to bring up something else, for God's sake, when he got
sorry.
There?
Sorry. Okay. Okay, let me do this. This is something you'll remember once I tell you. So, after I had gone out to get, like, the time-lapse and stuff, you guys were talking to the owner. And the owner told you both that he's owned it for a couple of years now, 2 years or something, and he still has not seen the entire complex.
Okay. Did he tell me that?
You told me that. You told me that the owner told you that. Like, when we were there that night, you told me the owner told you that.
Well, there you go. Oh,
you don't look, remember that?
Oh, look, a castle.
Literally, you told me that. We were standing before we even started. It was still daylight. You told me that. How does she not remember that she told me that?
Welcome to my world.
Anyway, this has been a fun episode. Let's go ahead and close it out.
We should go ahead and close it out. So, that's Crescent.
Yes.
Definitely going to investigate it. We're definitely going. Are you going to come back with us?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, if you ever go back to Crescent.
Are you too broken? What are you going to do next year when we come back? Are you joining us?
Oh, I will. And I bet you next year, if you come back next year, Jason will join you.
We are coming back next
year. If you are coming back next year, Jason will join you. So will Dave.
When we come back next year.
When you come back next year.
Thank you.
When you come back next year, I'll join you. Jason will join you. Dave will join you. We'll all come back and join you for Crescent, because that is one of our favorite places. We are not missing Crescent.
Excellent. So stay tuned for when we do go back to Crescent next year, hopefully. And until then, we are going to sign off. And we're going to say goodbye to Ryan.
Absolutely, unless they decide to rope me into another podcast in the next 15 days.
I reckon in the next 15 days we might. I'm sure we can think of something.
I'm sure we'll do another podcast in the 15 days, and you won't have to say goodbye to me.
All the places we've been to.
Yep.
Together.
So, yeah, who knows? Yeah, stay tuned, everyone, and do all the Spotify things, do all the YouTube things.
How could
you
not have this accent?
You have to.
On this podcast.
You have to. Come to America. You can hear this accent. You can hear this podcast. You can hear this podcast in America if you go to Spotify, if you go to YouTube. So, yeah, just do all the Spotify things, all the YouTube things, and subscribe and follow and like and
all
share.
Those
and
things, yeah. Share all those things.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, that everybody says.
And Adelaide's Haunted Horizons is on the up and up. You all better be ready, because Adelaide's Haunted Horizons is coming to a city near you.
There you go. You've been told.
Topeka,
been
told. Get ready.
Yep.
You've been told.
Yeah, you've been told. So go and like, subscribe. Anything that we're on, YouTube, Facebook,
and Paranormal Quest.
Are we on Paranormal Quest?
You are on Paranormal Quest. A couple episodes.
You
yeah.
Interrupted me there.
Yeah, a couple episodes of Paranormal Quest you're on.
We are. But we haven't got that far. I'm going to. But okay, can we finish ours first?
Yeah.
Because ours is more important.
Yeah, finish their pitch. Let's finish your pitch.
So go and do all the things that we say you should do. Go and like, subscribe, whatever else. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and now Patreon. Then you get to see us live in video form.
Yeah, if you want to watch this podcast again in video form, go to the Haunted Horizons Patreon.
And even better, you'll get to see all the bits that don't make the podcast.
That's right. Go to see all the bloopers, and you'll get to see them on the Haunted Horizons Patreon.
There's lots. And go support Paranormal Quest. So, Paranormal Quest on YouTube, Facebook. Are you a Patreon or not?
We do have Patreon, yeah, but mostly we're on YouTube. So go to Paranormal Quest on YouTube. You can find we upload a video, one video every week of some paranormal investigation that we've gone on all across the world. Right now we're in Australia. Who knows where we'll go to next? So, yeah, go check us out.
And it's really professional-like.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Go somewhat.
All right, guys, we're going to go and have tea, so enjoy whatever time that you're listening to this, whether it be your evening, your afternoon, your morning, depending where you are, and we will catch you again next
later.
Week. From
Bye.
Wherever.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.